I am currently at the Musée des Beaux-Arts de Winnipeg, the Winnipeg Art Gallery. I'm talking to Pierre Arpin, who's the director. Pierre, thank you for this.
It's a pleasure.
I want to start with talking about the Manitoba experience, because I understand that you're not a native Winnipegger.
Actually, I'm a Franco-Ontarian, but I've been around, lived in Ottawa, Montreal, Sudbury for 3 years, Victoria for almost 6 years, and just moved here a year and a bit ago. And it's a great city. Directing an institution like this in a city that's so supportive of cultural ventures is great.
Okay, just give me an overview. What is the Winnipeg Art Gallery?
Well, it's the eighth largest art museum in Canada. We're managing a budget of about $5.3 million this year. We have a collection of about 22,000 objects, of which almost 11,000 are our Inuit sculptures, and the rest painting and sculpture and prints from the early Renaissance right through to the present day. So it's quite an extensive collection.
And the largest collection of Inuit sculpture anywhere in the world.
That's right, the largest collection right here in our vaults.
What is the importance of having the largest collection of Inuit sculpture?
It's interesting that it's linked to individuals who have been linked to this community, like George Swinton, who was a really important kind of historian, laying the groundwork for a scholarship in that field. A lot of the work started there. Also, the link with the cooperatives up north in the 50s and 60s meant that the collection was being built to the tune of hundreds of objects a year. And over decades, that makes for this single most important collection here.
What I have seen of the art scene, especially the visual art scene in Winnipeg, in many respects, it's an indigenous experience. This is prairie land. This is grassroots. This is a city which was the first truly multicultural city in Canada. Because I've been focusing on the impact of landscape on culture. What do you think, in terms of arts, what's the impact of the prairie experience, the prairie landscape, on art?
That's a good question. Maybe I could put it in a way that you look at both the cultural history of the community and almost the desolation and the barrenness of the land where a lot of Eastern European immigrants came here, settled here, in the middle, literally in the middle of the continent, in the middle of nowhere, surrounded by nothing, and decided if we were going to make something of this community, we'd have to literally do it ourselves. And I think that's why this is one of the oldest civic art museums in the country, and that history is tied to the culture of the community and how this history developed.
You know, that theme of isolation has come up time and time again during my visit here. This morning, just before I left the hotel to come here, I was having a discussion with a young woman who works in the hotel, and I said, what makes this such a great art city? And she said, because of the isolation. And I said, what do you mean isolation? Let's talk about it. And you know what she came up with? She called it an exquisite isolation. And from that, we talked about how the prairie space liberates a sense of self, a sense of space, the spatial perceptions. And this art gallery, I just had a brief glimpse, and I'm about to tell our listeners something really exciting, but I've just had a brief, and it's all about space and light and openness. Why is this art gallery special in that respect?
I think we're fortunate in that the galleries themselves were designed by Gustavo de Rosa, 1970 construction. This was one of the post-centennial projects, and it's probably one of the most distinctive architectural statements for an art gallery in Canada. There's a big triangle that juts out into the Memorial Boulevard here in Winnipeg. So this, you walk into the galleries and they're wide open spaces with ceilings of up to 18 feet. So you have this sense of space and detachment and ability to look at art with a lot of space around you. And I think maybe a bit of the prairie is found in the space itself.
Yeah, it sounds like prairie skies to me and prairie light and prairie sensibilities. I just want to emphasize one other point, too, but this is a very international experience as well, especially this gallery. Can you talk to me about the collections from an international perspective?
Maybe the fact is just because you're in the middle of nowhere in Manitoba, in the middle of the country, doesn't mean that you're if you're isolated, you're not detached from the rest of the world. It's a very sophisticated audience. It's a very sophisticated community. They have high expectations. And they also, I think, very rightly so, hold a productive community in very high regard. Some of our younger contemporary artists are making a big scene in New York these days, a couple of artists that are doing quite well. And they're recognized because they've got a great original production that's coming out of nowhere and that is making a statement internationally.
Okay, now I want to reveal a little bit of a secret to our listeners, because this is a very privileged moment for me, because I have a sneak preview of an incredible new exhibit here, and it's a Rodin exhibit, and it's called Rodin, A Magnificent Obsession. How did this come about?
Well, I was really fortunate in that when I was studying and preparing for an interview for this position last year, I was also trying to get a sense of what might be available in terms of the exhibitions that were traveling and possibly available in the first year.